John chapter 12, we have looked at 50 parables. So we'll look at the last two this morning, Lord willing, and if we have time, we'll go over the 52 and see if you remember any of them. John chapter 12, the corn of wheat, number 51. And Brother Scott, could you read John chapter 12, verses 20 to 26, please?
Corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth this life shall lose it, and he that hateth this life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor.
Amen. Let's pray. Lord, give us your wisdom, please, and thank you that we can assemble here and guide us. And Lord, work miracles in our hearts through your powerful word. We are grateful and we love you and commit this service to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see here that the Greeks, they wanted to see Jesus, most likely for selfish reasons. Most people wanted to see Jesus either to get healed or to get some free food. But Jesus' answer to that was to give this parable about the corn of wheat. And it's a very powerful lesson about following Jesus Christ and how to have victory as a Christian, isn't it? So we need to walk through it and understand. But he starts there in verse 24, a corn of wheat, except it fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. What Jesus is telling us there is to be the kind of Christian he wants us to be, even to be a Christian, we have to die first. So what does he mean that we have to die? Anybody? Yes, Claire? Okay, we have to die to self. And even to get saved, we have to repent and admit that we are sinners and wicked and deserve to go to hell. And Jesus gives us a new life. Amen? But the key, one of the keys to being the kind of Christian God wants us to be is we need to learn to die daily. Paul even said that in 1 Corinthians 15:33. He said, I die daily. But let's look at some verses on this. Galatians 2:20, Howard, if you would read that for us. And Claire, Colossians 3:3. And we'll see if it's God's will that we die.
I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
So he's not trying to have a word twister there, but we are dead, but we're also alive. And what does that mean? Well, we die when we're born dead, right? When we get saved, we're born again. And now we have eternal life, but to be the kind of Christian God wants us to be, we need to die to self. And that's what Paul is saying. Okay, Claire, Colossians 3:3. We're dead, but we're alive. So which is it? It's both, amen? We have life in Jesus Christ, eternal life, but we have been crucified with Christ, like Paul said in Galatians 2:20, so that what he's teaching us is that the old man, the old self, is dead. It's crucified with Christ. And yet, it still causes us trouble. It still wants our attention. It still wants to lead us. And what we need to learn is it's dead. So stop listening to him. And let God lead us. Amen? And this is all about who we yield to. We read in Romans chapter 6, which we studied recently on Wednesday night, that we must yield to God as those that are alive from the dead and let the old man reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin. So the old man is crucified. The new man has life, but only as far as living the Christian life, only as we let God live his life through us, which is, of course, to be filled with the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, and so forth. If we're willing to die, as he says here, verse 24, what will happen is we will have a fruitful Christian life. Much fruit. Is it God's will that we be a fruitful Christian? Absolutely. Let's go to John chapter 15 and see. Mark, Zeus, if you could read in John 15, verse 5 and verse 8. 5 and 8, yep.
I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, he can do nothing. Verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples.
So is it God's will that we bear fruit? Of course it is. But where does that fruit come from? It doesn't come from the old man, does it? It only comes from the Lord. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. It's only God who can yield fruit in our lives as we yield to him. I keep using this word yield. Let's go to Romans chapter 6 and we'll see this word yield. James, could you read in Romans chapter 6, 11 and 12 for us? Actually, 11, 12 and 13. So in verse 6 and verse 11, it says you're dead. But then it says, as ye that are alive from the dead. So the old man is dead. That's what he's saying. Reckon ye yourselves to be dead unto sin. Your old man is dead, but you're alive unto God. And then did you notice how he used that word yield? It means to give way. It means to let God take control of our lives. So this is one of the keys to the Christian life. So can a dead man complain when he has a trial in his life? Do dead people complain? They don't, do they? Do dead people gossip?
No, they can't.
Exactly. Do dead people attack others with their tongue? And we could go on all morning, couldn't we? So the only time that we sin is when we allow that dead man to be in control, because the new man doesn't do those things. And so Jesus is saying, if you want to be a fruitful Christian, you've got to be like this corn of wheat, which we don't even understand that process. Science still doesn't understand how you can take this thing, just this little thing, and drop it in some dirt, give it some water and some sunlight, and it grows into this big plant or a tree. How is that even possible? Well, because God put life into that seed, amen? And what he's saying is, we need to be like that corn of wheat. We need to be willing to die and what? Let God then add some sunlight, add some water, and we will grow and we will bear much fruit. Now, there's a lot of hidden stuff in there, like the water is represented by the Word, the Son is the Lord Jesus Christ, and so forth. But anyway, God's will is that we bring forth fruit. Verse 25, he that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it. So there's a lot of these back and forths in this passage, aren't there? So he's saying that if you love your life in this world, you're going to regret it. But if you hate your life in this world, then you'll keep it. So what's he saying? Our problem is that we're in love with ourselves and we're in love with our life in this world, and that's not how it's supposed to be. We are not to be, as we're told will happen in the last days, lovers of their own selves. We're not to have confidence in the flesh. We are to recognize that we are no longer citizens of this world. Amen? We're citizens of a new country. And we need to stop loving the world. We need to stop listening to the world, living for the world. We need to die to self. And that can only happen as we make it so. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, let's go there. Brad, read that for us if you would. Luke 9:23. So notice it says he takes up his cross how often? It's a daily thing to take up your cross. Now a cross only has one purpose. Amen? And that's for crucifixion. So Jesus is saying there we must daily die. If we're going to be a fruitful Christian, we must daily die. Take up our cross daily and follow me. So he's given us the key to being fruitful, and that's dying to self. Then in verse 26, he says, if any man will serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. So we are his servants. Amen. And what he's saying is if he wants us to follow him. Follow him where? Where should we follow Jesus? Exactly. Thank you, Mark. Where he leads us in his will. Amen? Romans chapter 12. Present your body as a living sacrifice. Right? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In other words, we need to be doing the will of God. We need to be following Jesus. He will show us the way if we will follow him. And then he says, if any man will serve me, him will my Father honor. So those who are willing to die to self and follow Jesus and serve Jesus Christ, God promises that they will be honored by God. Which, of course, that will happen at the judgment seat of Christ, where we receive rewards. So, what a beautiful parable. That corn of wheat is us, isn't it? And it's God's will that we be a fruitful Christian, that we serve the Lord Jesus Christ, that we follow him, but none of that can happen until we are willing to, first of all, what? Die. Daily. Thoughts or questions about the corn of wheat? So just remember that. Every day, die. So Paul said, maybe memorize just those three words in 1 Corinthians 15:33. Paul said, I die daily. That's what we need to do. We need to die daily. Thoughts or questions about parable number 51, the corn of wheat? Well, it's sad but true. We are on our last parable, John chapter 15. Can't believe it. And in this parable, Jesus gives the 12th of the 12 I Ams of the Gospel of John. And did you know that the I Ams are only in John? That's because John was written to the world to present Jesus Christ as Jehovah. So, I don't know. I'll quickly tell you what the I Ams are. He said in John 4, I am the Messiah. He said in John 6, I'm the bread of life. In John 8, I'm the light of the world. In John 8, I am the I Am, or Jehovah. In John 10, I am the door. In John 10, I am the good shepherd. In John 10, I'm the Son of God. In John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. In John 13, I am master and Lord. In John 14, I am the way and the truth and the life, which we already got in John 11. And then this last one here in John 15, I am the true vine. Now, we already looked at some of these verses, but now we're going to look at all of them. Brother Jim, verses 1 through 8 of John 15.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine no more, can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me he can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask that what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples.
So much in this passage about prayer, about the Word, about being a disciple of Jesus Christ. But the main point is about being a fruitful Christian, isn't it? Which is God's perfect will for our lives. So he says in verse 2, more fruit. Then he says in verse 5, much fruit. So God wants us to bear much fruit, but he needs to start with the more fruit. And how do we get from more fruit to much fruit? Verse 2, through some purging. So what is that? Mr. Scott, what does that mean? You're an arborist. What does it mean when you purge a plant? How do you do that? By doing what? Yeah, but what else do you do to it? You prune it and trim it. That's the purging process. Does that have to happen in our lives? Do we need some pruning and trimming? Thank you, Jan. And the longer that we, or the later in life that we get saved, the more pruning and trimming that needs to take place. Amen? And does that happen in one day? No, it's a process. It takes time. And Jesus has already given us some of the means that he uses to do this. Notice in verse 3, now you are clean through the word. So does the word have the power to prune us? Yes, it does. That is his number one instrument that God uses to prune us, to make us more like Jesus, that we might bear much fruit. So, let's look at some verses. 2 Corinthians 4:17, Howard. Some of the purging comes in the form of trials. Sorry, but that's the truth. 2 Corinthians 4:17, Howard.
For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory.
Notice the afflictions work for us. Now, we've talked about this many times. And notice it says, which is but for a moment. But that's not saying that there's only going to be one from the time you get saved until the time you go to heaven. How many will there be? Well, God says many are the afflictions of the righteous. Because there's a lot of purging and pruning that has to take place. And God will continue to purge and prune us through trials, through conviction of his word. And this is a process. Just like it is when Brother Scott would go out and prune, he'd have to do it again next year, right? And next year, and next year, and next year. You don't just do it once and you're done for the life of that plant or tree. You've got to keep at it. And you know what? Jesus keeps at it with us. He just keeps pruning us, keeps purging us, because his goal is that we graduate from more fruit to much fruit. And the only way that can happen is through this purging that he talks about in verse 2. Because we are just the branches. He is the vine. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself. It's got to be connected to the vine, right? So the source of the fruit is the vine, and that's Jesus. This is even one of our Sunday school songs. So the only way that we're going to bear fruit is if we're abiding in Jesus. We're already in Jesus as by virtue of our salvation, but we need to consciously abide in him because we cannot bear fruit outside of him. So we must abide in him and in his word. And if you go to 1 John 2:6, God says that if we will, something amazing will happen. Brent, could you read that for us? 1 John 2:6.
1 John 2:6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked.
There's that word abide again. God says if you say that you're abiding in Christ, what will happen? You will walk like Jesus. Let me give you an even more interesting verse, 1 John 3:6, Claire, if you'd read that one. Now, has anyone in this room ever sinned since they got saved? We all have, right? Then what does this verse mean? That if we, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Well, it has really two meanings. The primary meaning, as you will find in 1 John, is some of the verses are doctrinal and some of them are experiential. Our experience is that we sin, but doctrinally we are sinless because we all of our sins are gone. Amen? They're covered by the blood. And when God sees us, he sees Christ because we are in Christ. That's the primary meaning, but there's a secondary meaning, and that says that when we are abiding in Christ, like we're commanded to, then we're not sinning. But the opposite is true. When we are sinning, then we're not abiding. So that's how we can know. Am I abiding in Christ? Well, am I bearing fruit? Am I not sinning? If I'm not bearing fruit and I'm sinning, I'm definitely not abiding. So Jesus has made it very easy to know, am I abiding in Christ? Because I am bearing fruit and I am not sinning. Because Jesus would never lead us to sin, would he?
No, he would not.
So that's not Jesus that's leading us or causing us to sin. That's that old man. We're abiding in the old man at that particular time. That's why he keeps reminding us, verse 5, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. The fruit of the Spirit. For without me ye can do what? That's one of the key verses of the Christian life. At least memorize that last phrase, but preferably the whole verse. But without me, ye can do nothing. And yet, how often after we've been saved a while do we try to do things in our own strength? And in our own power? And we can't. We have accomplished absolutely nothing if it's outside of Christ. So we must abide in him. If we are trusting ourselves, Proverbs 28:26 says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Let's see what Paul had to say about it. Mark Zeus, Romans 7:18. This is Paul's own passage on his own struggle with sin. Yes, Paul was human like the rest of us, and Paul wasn't sinless, even though he was a great man. Romans 7:18. So he's saying, I know, in my flesh there's nothing good. And he's saying, the will is present, but how to perform it, I'm not going to find it in myself, am I? I'm only going to find it in the Lord. And Paul is being honest there about his struggle with sin. The same struggle that we all face. And Jesus says, without me, ye can do nothing. So the key is to, first of all, abide in him, and second of all, that his words abide in us. Right? That's what he said there in verse 7. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. So what does he mean when we now understand the abiding in him, which is dying and letting him be in control of our lives, being yielded to him, walking in the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. What does he mean when he says, and my words abide in you? So he's saying it takes both. So what does that mean? My words abide in you. Anybody? Claire? Okay. But is that imply that you're reading? Amen? Yeah? In other words, if we never open this, are his words abiding in us? No. If we never read it, if we never study it, if we don't memorize it, then his words are definitely not abiding in us, are they? So he's saying that you cannot be a fruitful Christian outside of this and outside of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. It takes both. So if we are not a Christian who is abiding in his word and abiding in the Holy Spirit, we will not be a fruitful Christian. And he also says this is one of the prayer conditions. Ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. If you're abiding in me and my words are abiding in you. Because obviously, if we're abiding in him and his word is abiding in us, then what we're going to be asking for will be according to his will, because he's leading us. It won't be selfish. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts. But we won't do that if we are abiding in him and his word abides in us. Do you think there's also embedded in that the encouragement to memorize Scripture? His word abiding in us? Do you think that when we memorize Scripture, his word is abiding in us? Yep. We're giving the Holy Spirit more of an arsenal for us to be able to resist the devil with the sword of the Spirit. Amen? If we will memorize Scripture. So another reminder how important it is that we memorize God's word. And if we do those things, God says, how is God glorified? What brings God glory? That we bear much fruit. And he says, then you will be one of my disciples. So shall ye be my disciples. So the best way we can glorify God is to be a fruit-bearing Christian. And if we are abiding in him and his word abides in us, because without him we can do nothing, that's what we will be, a fruit-bearing Christian. And notice it says again, much fruit. So one of the qualifications of true discipleship is that we be a fruit-bearing Christian that abides in the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his word abides in us. Thoughts or questions about our final parable, number 52? The true vine. Anybody? Yes, sir.
Yeah, verse 6, being the dry branches being cast into the fire, to me it seems like a backslidden and unrepentant Christian. How would you read that?
Yes, that is how I would read it too, that there will be a judgment. I'm sorry, I had some notes on verse 6 and just went right over them. So, will there be loss at the judgment seat of Christ? Absolutely. It even talks about fire. Let's look at it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And if we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, it means we're saved. But it doesn't mean that we've earned anything. Because we might not have been a fruit-bearing Christian. We might not have been a Christian who abided in Christ and His Word abided in us. And if that be the case, then notice what happens at the judgment seat. Verse 15. Please turn, Brad, can you read that? 1 Corinthians 3:15. Yet so as by fire. So there will be much loss suffered at the judgment seat of Christ because we did things with the wrong motive. We didn't do them to the glory of God. We weren't abiding in Christ. We weren't a fruit-bearing Christian, so forth. So yes, I don't believe it's talking about hell because of the context that we are already in the vine, and the vine is Jesus. And this same book tells us that if we are in Jesus, we're safe. Amen. John chapter 10 tells us that we're safe in His hand. No man is able to pluck them out of His hand. No man is able to pluck them out of His Father's hand. And we could go on and on about it. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and I will in no wise cast out. John 6:37. Anyway, yes, there would be much loss, sadly, at the judgment, which includes fire. But I don't believe that's the fire of the lake of fire. That is the fiery judgment that we see read here in 1 Corinthians 3, which is talking about saved people facing the fiery judgment of Jesus Christ. We're not being judged there for our sins, are we? We're being judged for our works. What did we do for Christ? Were we faithful? And so forth. And as he mentions earlier in that passage, of what sort they are. Some of our works will be wood, hay, stubble. Some of them will be gold, silver, precious stones. And it's fire that tests those two things, right? And what happens to wood, hay, stubble with fire? It burns up. What happens to gold, silver, precious stones? It can survive the fire. So yes, there will be loss, sadly. So the point is, abide in Christ. For without Him we can do nothing. Amen? Any other thoughts or questions? Well, we don't have time to review, but I hope you enjoyed the study. And next week we start a new study. I'm calling it Disciple Training. So what we're going to do is walk through the experiences that Jesus took the disciples through and what He was trying to teach them each time. Because a lot of what Jesus did was to teach, of course, which we just looked at His parables. But He also, a lot of the things that He did were to prepare the disciples to take over and build His church after He was gone. And so a lot of the things that He put them through or did for them or in front of them were to prepare and teach them. And they didn't learn a lot of the lessons initially, of course. But while He was here on earth doing what Jesus Christ did, which is preaching the gospel and healing and so forth, He was simultaneously taking those 12 men through His form of Bible college, of mentoring and preparing them. So we're looking at it from that perspective. That'll start next week. So Brother Mark, close in prayer.